Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the 16th week of Trinity after Trinity. For our Bible study this morning, we had the story, the narrative, the historical account of Elisha raising the widow's son. And as God so happened to have it, that's what today's gospel text and Old Testament reading are all about. Jesus raising the widow's son. God provides. It's amazing. I didn't plan it, I swear. And you'll notice as well today that we've returned to our divine service setting one. We'll have this setting up through Christmas Day. Good old favorite of ours, I know. With that, we'll continue then with our opening hymn, 797, Praise the Almighty.
Thank you.
helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. That's our theme for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being of the Church of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, for Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before us and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elisha, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "Yahweh, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "Yahweh, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elisha, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we'll be reading Psalm 30. You read the bolded sections. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life
among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints,
and give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment,
and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night,
but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I have said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
By your favor, O Lord,
you made my mountain stand strong.
You hid your face.
I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cry. What profit is there in my death?
If I go down to the pit,
will the dust praise you?
Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning
into dancing.
You have loosed my sackcloth
and clothed me with gladness,
that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent.
O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Amen. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. St. Paul says, "So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn, 490. There's only three stanzas of this hymn, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. God provides us with all that we need. He cares for the childless, for the widows, and the orphans. In the gospel, Jesus went to a city called Nain. In Hebrew, Nain means pasture, good pasture. Now, Nain was very close to Jesus' own stomping grounds, only a 3-hour walk to Nazareth, or if you had a car, 20-minute drive. About the distance from here to Storm Lake. Nazareth is at the base of one ridge of mountains, and Nain at the base of another. Between these two towns, it's not a valley, but a flat land, a pasture. It's a kind of thing that people think of when they think of Iowa, but we Iowans really know that's Nebraska. Anyway, Jesus travels across this pasture land to the city called Nain, pasture. And journeying along with him were his disciples and a large crowd. Picture it. There's our shepherd leading his sheep and a great flock into good pasture. And as Jesus drew near the gate to pasture, Nain, take notice. There was being carried out a man who had died. The only begotten son of his mother. And she was a widow, no husband. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Two great caravans of people coming face to face. Here a large, energetic crowd who had just witnessed Jesus heal the centurion's servant from afar off, I might add. And here a substantial crowd, solemn and grieving. Here the only begotten son of the Father, born of the Virgin Mary. And here a dead son, the only begotten of his mother, a widow, sobbing in his wake. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion upon her. Compassion. It's a good word, but for me it lacks the substance. The word here is splachnitzomai. I've said it before, and you have too. Splachnitzomai. It's a gut-wrenching compassion that turns your insides out. It is felt. It is deep. From the depths of his being, Jesus has compassion. And he says to her, the same compassion our Lord gives to us. The brother, our Lord says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. James chapter 1. Jesus saw the widow. He had compassion upon her and said to her, "Weep not." A command? Stop crying? Well, yes, but more than a command. With his word and his touch, Jesus wipes away every tear from her eyes. He goes up and touches the bier, and the bearers stand still. A seemingly light and gentle touch, but spiritually, this scene is like Superman hitting a high-speed train. Wham! But just a nice, gentle touch. And then he says, "Young man." It's not a derogatory phrase, right? As it might be said in our households, right? Young man? No. It's one of endearment. It's the title for a young male servant, one who is healthy and well, whose work is not over, but is just about to begin. Jesus says to this dead corpse, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead son sat up and began to speak. Resurrect the dead? But isn't it better to die and be with Christ? Yeah, St. Paul says so. But, he adds, if I am to go on living, it means fruitful labor for me. My work is not done. Praise the Lord. And Jesus gave the son to his mother. See how he cares for the fatherless and the widows. See how he gives them back to each other to love and to serve one another. See how he restores families and broken relationships. See how not even death separates us from his love. Wow. At once, fear seized them all. Not the fear of death, no, that was gone. Or the fear of losing a loved one, he's brought back to life. Nor the fear of being powerless with nothing but sorrow for your lot. He's alive. No, this fear which seized them is the fear of the Lord. For this fear is joined to praise. Awe and trembling came upon every soul, and they stood in reverence and admiration before him who has power over life and death, whose steadfast love casts out fear forever. Godly fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us. He is like Moses, the promised one, the Messiah. He is like Elijah." And they said, "God has visited his people. This one is Emmanuel, God with us." My friends, as our Lord confronted our death in his own day, so does he come and confront our death today. As we carry this body of death on our journey to the grave, here it is that our Lord comes. Our Emmanuel, God with us, he comes to us at death's gate. When we have a funeral here and a great crowd of mourners is gathered, the service begins with the casket being brought forth to here, to the baptismal font. And over the casket is draped a white pall, reminding us that that body has been redeemed by the Lord. He has washed it, he has sanctified it, he has spoken his word over it. And with water and the word, he has touched that body and claimed it as his own. That body he will raise again. And at once, after the body is brought forward and stands still here with that word, our Lord sends me this young man, this servant, who himself has been risen from such waters, to speak his word to the widows and the fatherless who've just lost their loved ones. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen, I say. It is as if our Lord says, "Behold, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. And coming with me a great many sheep, a whole flock of witnesses, all those who have gone before you, the words of Moses and Elijah, the prophets of old, the apostles and evangelists, and David with his psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." As the scriptures are read, "Hear ye the voice of your shepherd," there at death's gate. As Jesus continues to comfort the widows and the fatherless, behold, alongside him breaks forth the songs of angels descending from on high. From the choir loft to the front pews, great hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, glories and praises to dry the eyes and lift up the soul. Here in the congregation, the bereaved find their comfort. Here the widows and the fatherless have a family, an eternal family. Here they have a home. Here we are rooted and grounded in God's love and comprehend with all the saints, living and departed, the breadth and length and height and depth of our Lord's compassion. And so are filled with the fullness of God there at death's gate. As the bereaved shed their tears of sorrow and their tears of joy, we in the congregation weep with them, weep with those who weep. But we do not weep as those who have no hope. Weep not, Jesus says. For we look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Comforting one another with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God, our shepherd speaks, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am coming. And when I come, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things will have passed away. On that day, weep not. It is as if our Lord says, take heart, have no fear of death. For I have carried your death to the cross, and for your sakes I have laid down my life, O sheep of God. In your place I have entered through death's gate once for all. And in so doing, I have overcome it. I hold the keys to death and Hades. To die with me, then, is to enter through my own body as through a gate into death and the grave, and be brought with me unto the other side, unto the good pasture of life eternal and the certain hope of a resurrection of the dead. Therefore, O young man, I say to you, arise. And I give you to your mother, and mother to your son. I give you to one another now, rejuvenated in my love. Turn your hearts to them and serve them as I have served you. Abide in my love. And even if you are to die, yet shall you live. And at the last, I will resurrect the dead and give you a joyous reunion. This promise I seal in my own blood. So take and drink it, that my spirit and my love may fill you with the fullness of God until that final day. I am coming. I am coming soon. Amen. And this report about Jesus spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. The congregation stands to bear witness and to strengthen one another in the words of the Nicene Creed. Stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father.
and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified,
who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Just one announcement. Elijah Hinkeldy, son of Tom and Steph, he had an accident and injured his eye yesterday afternoon. He was flown down to Omaha, and he has since, he's returning home now. His eyesight is fine, just has a large gash under his eye. So he'll be in our prayers. We continue with the prayer of the church. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God our Father in heaven, look with mercy upon us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good things and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend our pregnant mothers, Hannah, Tristan, Holly, Heather, and Anjali. We also commend all who are ill and ailing, Elisha, Max, Carrie, Mike, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, and all our homebound, Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, and all who are in need. Praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us, like Elisha and the widow, to trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Continue with the singing of the offertory.
Salvation. Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened heaven to us and as a way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Away the sin of the world. through our Lord's name.
To eat the body of Christ, give us glory. To eat the body of Christ, give us glory. To eat the body of Christ, give us glory.
Welcome to our Lord's name.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, that you may arise to live before him forever. Depart in his peace. Amen. We stand and thank the Lord. God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake You have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Let's just stay standing for this one. How about that? 548. Thanks to thee, O Christ victorious.
Yeah.